This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're back with Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch. Do people who are not citizens of the United States but living in this country have the same First Amendment right to free speech as citizens? That question is being raised following cases involving non-citizens who participated in pro-Palestinian protests. With me in studio now is Anders Walker, Lily Myers, professor of law at St. Louis University School of Law. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Does the Constitution specify in the First Amendment whether that applies only to citizens?
The First Amendment does not mention that question, but federal law does.
When we look at case law over the years, what does that tell us about their free speech rights?
The federal government got very interested in people who are here who are not citizens with the onset of World War II. So in 1940, the federal government passed the Smith Act. And that was the first federal law that created what we now call the green card. The goal of that card was to make sure the federal government knew who was here and whether anyone was speaking out against the government in favor of communism.
When it comes to removing immigrants who have views in opposition to the sitting government, that's not the only law, correct? There have been a number of others since then.
That's right. So Congress then reiterated that in 1952, the McCarran Act. That's basically, if you are here as a guest, an immigrant with a green card, you don't have all the privileges and immunities of citizenship. If the federal government, in this case the Secretary of State, decides that you are speaking against foreign policy, you can be deported.
Can you give us both sides of this, looking at it from the government side and then from that non-citizen side?
Well, so the government historically has been very interested in making sure that people who come to the United States assimilate into our system. And to become a citizen, you have to take a test, you have to take a class. The idea of allowing people to stay here without citizenship was partly to help people who were working, to help businesses that needed employees. But they were guests. And so the government has never really protected guests who are critical of the government. Now, people forget this. And I think young people today don't study history. They don't remember that deportation was very common. Emma Goldman was deported for being an anarchist at the turn of the 20th century. And you don't have maximum free speech rights if you're not a citizen, and especially not if you're speaking out in favor of what the federal government has called a terrorist group.
What about people without legal status? What laws have been enacted to control or suppress what citizens see as free speech rights?
Well, if you are here without documentation, then you are in a very vulnerable position. You can be deported immediately, and you don't have any real free speech rights. It's the folks who are here with visas, with student visas, with green cards, who may think they have free speech rights, but they don't. They're guests.
What position, for example, you mentioned the case involving Columbia University. What position does it put those institutions in when they have individuals who are speaking out against the government on their campuses?
So this puts universities in a very tough position. We've been teaching for decades now that the United States embraces free speech, dissent. You can be critical of the government. That's what distinguishes us from totalitarian regimes. And I don't think the universities have stressed, if you're here on a visa, you need to be careful. It's this new pushback on the protests against Israel that have really gotten people fired up. And suddenly students that are not citizens need to watch out.
Where do alien and sedition laws come in?
Well, so way back at the time of the framing, there was a lot of sort of cracking down on people speaking out against the government. And the reality is, which is not well known, is there's always been restrictions on speech. Eugene Debs was a socialist, ran for president from prison for speaking out against the U.S. government. We've always been very concerned about people who might try to overthrow the government, interfere with U.S. foreign policy, cut against the interests of the nation. And so we're now sort of seeing a return to a long tradition in American history.
What are you watching for? What are some red flags for you in all of this?
Well, the big question is not students who are here on visas or green cards. They don't have much of a case. The big question is, will this administration go after American students who have been providing material aid to Hamas? The State Department calls them a terrorist organization. If you're calling for divestment from Israel, are you providing material help to a terrorist organization? Will Pam Bondi go after American-born citizens?
Under what laws would they be able to do that?
The Patriot Act. So after 9/11, we got very serious about anyone who promoted or supported terrorists. And that could be verbal support, counseling terrorists, or divestment is about taking money away from Israel so they can't prosecute the war. Pam Bondi could say, that is a violation of federal law.
It's interesting because I'm thinking back to the decades ago when I was a college student. We did not have everything recorded on our phones. We did not have a lot of electronic transactions when it came to either documents or financial. Is this something that's very different for this generation of young people who might feel like they're, you know, exercising their free speech rights?
It sure is. If you're making posts online that could be viewed as supporting Hamas, that could be a problem. And then the whole question of your face. Are you hiding your face? And there's been talk now of preventing students from wearing masks during these protests. And once you're identified, well, then actions could be taken against you. So I think students today are sort of in a precarious position.
All right. That is Anders Walker with St. Louis University School of Law. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you.